And we just hit literally just the debt clock just went over 37 trillion big ones.
Oh, boy. Come on, Tara. I can't take much more of this.
Well, I know. And that's what makes it so stunning that this spending plan puts us on track to hit 60 trillion by 2035. $60 trillion. I know I keep playing this audio, but Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business, who I trust, she took a pretty good job, lays this out for Kevin Hassett. Again, he is the head of Trump's economic council and one of Trump's chief surrogates, whose job it is to sell the big, beautiful bill. He doesn't deny it. He just says, well, if we can grow at 3%, we'll bring in $4 trillion more than the budget office is projecting. And so it's not going to be as bad as you think.
This 10-year expectation that we're going to have deficits of $2.2 trillion a year and debt of almost $60 trillion by 2035.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score, which means that already the deficit's going down by trillions. The CBO has told us that the tariffs that are already in place, President Trump's tariffs that are already in place, are going to give us extra revenue of $2.8 trillion over 10 years. And the DOGE cuts, people forget about the DOGE cuts. They don't count in the big, beautiful bill because you can't have discretionary spending in a reconciliation package. We've now accumulated DOGE cuts that we can send to the House and the Senate to send back and to give the people their money back of $160 billion. That's almost $2 trillion. Over 10 years. And so this is the biggest deficit reduction, the most fiscally responsible package in the history of American fiscal policy.
Yeah.
And so anybody who claims to speak for fiscal responsibility and opposes this bill and our actions is just pushing partisan propaganda.
Again, Lee, as I've said repeatedly the last few days, the key part is this.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score.
Again, if anyone can do it, it's Trump. I'm not saying he can't, but maintaining that when the average has been 2 to 2.2 over the last 20 years, I just don't see it.
Well, and then you've got to, if, which is, that's the big if Trump can get it done. But the problem is he needs some assistance from somebody, oh, I don't know, like the Fed chief who is, let's say, recalcitrant, nothing less than to lower interest rates.
He's a saboteur. Is what he is. Well, he's a partisan hack.
I was trying to be objective, but yeah, you're right.
No, he's a partisan hack. I mean, this is a hijacking. It's absolutely terrible.
And for historical reference here, he did lower interest rates right before the election.
Yeah, no, and this is the same guy who kept interest rates low. Remember when Joe Biden wanted to print $1 trillion extra every quarter? And he said, no, the inflation's not going to get any worse. No, it's going to be that we were at almost 5%, then it went to 9. And he didn't raise rates until he was forced to, until we got to the 9. He kept them low to keep the real estate industry alive.
Now, that's why Trump, in his recent criticism, was once again talking about how he is always late to the party.
Exactly. And we got this other problem, and this is what's freaking Trump out and correctly so, at the level that it's freaking him out. And that's because we have got to refinance a substantial portion of our debt. And Jerome Powell wants it done at high interest rates. Basically, it'll force the federal government to bleed money. It'll cause the bond market to wobble, maybe crash, because it's literally that scary. Powell knows that, and he knows he's already building the case to turn around and pretend Trump's tariffs did it. Because Powell is just an evil man and a liar. And unfortunately, Trump appointed him. So another really terrible appointee that's blown up in Trump's face. Here's Cheryl Cassoni. She explains this really well on Fox Business.
One of the arguments that President Trump has made is that if you look at the interest rates story around the world, other banks in particular, if you look at Europe, they've been lowering rates while the United States has actually stood pat. So let's look at some of the world's central bank rates around the world. Look at this. Switzerland is at 0.25%, with Japan 0.5%, and then Denmark is less than 2%. The U.S. stands at 4.5%. So I'll leave you with this. We've got about $9 trillion that has to be refinanced of U.S. debt in the next year. That gets refinanced to the higher interest rate. So when he talks about billions of dollars being lost, that's what President Trump is talking about right now.
Yeah, he's doing it on purpose. And even more offensive, he's spinning the lie, and it's been shown to be a lie now, that the tariffs cause inflation. He started telling this lie in March. And where is it? Where's the inflation?
Yeah, things keep heading downward.
Yeah, so he is creating a crisis so he can then fulfill the crisis, fulfill the prophecy by saying, hey, look, it's Trump's tariffs. He knows that's not the case. He's trying to win the midterms for the Democrats is what he's trying to do because he's a Democrat and he doesn't care if nobody can sell a darn house and nobody in the middle class can buy one.
You mean he's using economic policy to try and influence an election, Tara?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's a bad guy, not a good guy. So we need to get somebody else. I honestly, though, I don't know if I want Scott Bessent as Treasury Secretary because he's so darn good at what he does right now that like, he's Treasury Secretary right now. I mean, Fed Chairman.
Yeah.
Cause he'd have to rein in a lot of what he's doing. You know, he can't be working with Trump every day on tariff deals. I just think he's done an amazing job, but
yeah. No, I agree. There's gotta be somebody else there, but please keep Bessent where he is. Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy's got to go. It's incredibly rude of him to stay put. His term ends in, I think, May 26. Trump has said, I want to show you the door. You're not doing a good job. You can demonstrate that he's a partisan hack. And he's refusing to leave. So this is a hijacking at this point. And it's a problem. Now, meanwhile, I want to get this in real quick, just another subject. But earlier on in the show, you heard Xi Van Fleet. She lived through the Communist Revolution. She watched a lot of people die. And she talked about this started not with the peasants, not at the apprenticeship school, she said, but Beijing University. It started in our universities, the Communist Revolution. And she was talking about the importance of combating it. And look what's going on. This needed to happen. The DOJ, Department of Justice, formally finds Harvard violated civil rights laws, which they did, both in ignoring the Supreme Court ruling against using race for admissions, which is one of the things they're being warned about in this letter, Lee, but also in their abject, outright persecution of Jewish students. It's so in your face. It's disgusting. And one of the things that the letter mentions, and this is among so many other things, there are two students that physically attacked a Jew, a known Jewish student on campus because he's an advocate. They hit him, they spit on him, and they mocked him with Heil Hitler. I mean, just absolute in-your-face harassment and anti-Semitism.
Well, if he was struck, that is assault. Assault, yeah. And battery.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. Sorry about my phone going off. Here's the thing. The local police tried to prosecute it.
Yeah.
And Harvard police, which answer to the administration, would not assist, which is why it wasn't prosecuted. And those two students were not punished, were not expelled, while the school sent letters to Jewish students and, email out suggesting that they maybe go to school online because it wasn't safe on campus.
Well, I guess they got their pronouns right, so.
Well, that's the important thing. And even worse than that, the other thing that is the problem, the letter points out, while the Jewish students who actually students on the campus, they paid tuition, were told to stay home, they allowed these pro-intifada, kill the Jews, violent, vile protesters who were not students, a lot of them, to put up tents on campus and harass the Jewish students who were, while telling them to stay home. I mean, you can't get more in your face with your anti-Semitism than that. And Trump has to break the back of this. This cannot become the norm. Because let me tell you what, they will move on to Christians so fast your head will spin. We already saw this with Antifa in Washington. I remember we had a peaceful Christian protest in a park, very peaceful, very loving, surrounded by Antifa thugs with the backing of the mayor. They'll come for us. They get the idea they can go for Jews. They'll come for us too. And so Trump is saying, and this is amazingly, I mean, this is, wow, throw down the gauntlet. If you don't shape up and comply with our demands, and so far they haven't, no more federal funding for you. No more. J.D. Vance wins or whoever comes next, that's a long time to go without federal funding. And the letter says, hey, you know, if you want to take the Hillsdale College route, Hillsdale doesn't take any federal money and they can do whatever they want. They can go Jew bash all day if they want on their campus,
which
I guess.
Which they would never do.
Not Hillsdale, but Harvard would.
Yeah, well, yeah, they are.
You know, fine, but you can't have any federal money to do it with. Harvard is whining like a stuck pig.
They have billions in their endowment.
Yeah, really. And so good. I'm glad that the Trump DOJ is not backing down on this. Strip them of every last penny. Humiliate them. This cannot take root on the left. There has to be a cost. 1,000. Which would make it about as deadly as COVID was. Remember, about 50% of the deaths were fake? Or they were faked because, remember, they changed the coding. So if your dead body that died in a car wreck, you know, God forbid, but tested positive for COVID, they shoved the swab up your nose, they'd say it was a COVID death. Two studies. The first one, done by Florida Surgeon General, head of their health system in the state of Florida, Joseph Latipo. Peer-reviewed. Here you go. 470,000 excess deaths from one of the shots alone. It's not both. And the two major companies. You can read the study yourself to find out the details. Second source, VAERS. I reported 19,355 deaths from COVID. That is unbelievable. You take something that is widespread in its use, like the flu shot. You know how many deaths are reported to VAERS every year from that? 20 on average. Now, when you report 20 deaths, they know that's an under-report. A lot of people don't know to report to VAERS, and a lot of doctors, it's not required. It's optional. Sometimes they just won't do it. 19,355 deaths, so you have to use a factor to figure out what the real number is. You have to extrapolate it. That factor is 31. Equals 600,000 deaths. So if you were doing the flu shot, you would multiply it by a factor of 30 or 31, generally, to find out the real number killed by the flu, which is, by the way, was the most deadly shot till this one. It's like nothing. If you knew 19,000 people had died from the shot, would you take it? Yeah, the media's not telling you. They want you to take it more than anything. Anyway, if given that number and VAERS, the actual total on the ground in the U.S., the kill would be 600,005. How is this still going into people's arms? How? Another study, this one in rats. I mean, this is just coming out. And a lot of these studies, folks, are coming out of Japan. They're coming out of other countries. You can't do them here. Here is a testimony under oath before Congress, OBGYN James Thorpe, on how it sterilized rats.
On February 8th, 2025, our team of researchers published a peer-reviewed study in Science, Public Health Policy, and the Law. We identified 37 adverse pregnancy outcomes significantly associated with COVID-19 vaccine, including miscarriage, stillbirth, birth defects, cervical insufficiency, premature ruptured membranes, preterm birth, and death of the newborn. Lynn and colleagues in a major journal publication documented that the COVID-19 vaccine traverses the placenta, enters the fetal blood, and bioactively produces spike protein in the placenta and the lining of the uterus. Recently, animal studies revealed the mRNA COVID vaccine causes the destruction of 60% of the ovarian reserve in rats. This catastrophic.
So that's the eggs. You know, a woman is born with all the eggs she's had, destroys 60% of them. Now let's look to places, normal places where studies of these things are done. Unlike in our homicidal country. And we never admit what we do or what the truth is until there's no other option. Peer-reviewed study out of the Czech Republic. Mainstream journal. They studied 1.3 million in the Czech Republic. That in 2022 alone, vaccinated women had 33% fewer successful conceptions per 1,000 than unvaccinated women. So this is not speculation. This is hard data. So doesn't appear to be as bad as in the rat study, but it's bad. It's bad. That one was published in the International Journal of Risk and Safety in Medicine. It was called Rates of Successful Conceptions According to the COVID-19 Vaccination Status. So it knocks out a third of pregnancies. And you got to wonder, this is what we don't know. And I warned you about this when I begged you not to take it. What's the long term? In other words, if you're a woman getting pregnant at 20, you have a much higher chance. Just generally, it's a lot easier to get pregnant. If you're, you know, doing the typical Gen Z thing, you're waiting until you're 33, you've had two of these shots. What's it going to be like for you? You're going to be able to get pregnant? I don't know. I don't know what it does long term. Can you imagine little girls have had this? And here's the thing. We haven't even studied male fertility. We haven't even studied it. I have a good friend who's a doctor. And this person sends me texts all the time because she hears about these deaths. It's just the latest from this last week. She has no one else to tell. She gets frustrated. She knows shots killing people. 60-year-old friend, never smoked, no family history of lung cancer, started feeling weak and tired 6 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, diagnosed with lung cancer, already spread to lymph nodes, not operable. Her 30-year-old daughter's best friend, healthy pharmaceutical rep, found dead in a hotel room 2 weeks ago, died suddenly. I could go back and back, but there's got to be a reckoning here, folks. This stuff's got to come off the market. I know RFK managed to save the kids, or to try to, by taking away the recommendation, but that's not enough. This is a murder weapon. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. People here's another one. Japan sounds alarm over COVID boosters. They trigger severe ulcerative colitis, which can kill you, by the way. Ulcerative colitis is a chronic inflammatory bowel disease. It causes inflammation, sores, and lining large intestines. You could die from it. Flare-ups of ulcerative colitis are life-threatening. They're considered extremely serious. They'll also ruin your life. I mean, just good luck having a job. Experts in Japan are sounding the alarm after uncovering evidence of COVID mRNA booster injections are triggering severe flare-ups of ulcerative colitis, a deadly condition that requires life-altering emergency surgery. This is happening in people who did not have it. The findings were published in a study, Springer Nature's Clinical Journal of Gastroenterology. The study documents multiple cases. One of those is of a patient who suffered a toxic megacolon flare-up of ulcerative colitis just days after receiving a fifth dose or booster. Yeah, I had my dental hygienist had to stop working. She wouldn't stop taking these shots, and everyone told her she was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Stop, it's the shot, and she didn't believe it. She's on disability now. It's what it does. It's what it did to my dad. It's why I had cancer. We have no history of cancer in my family. Gets the shot, boom, cancer. Aggressive in his brain. So we've been dosing with ivermectin, and after they had it cut out, it has not come back, thank God. But wow. Just wow. The reckoning has to come. It always does. The truth always catches up with the lie, but man, it needs to move faster. There's so many kids in particular getting this stuck in their arm. There's people don't listen to talk radio, don't get news. They're not on socials. You know, they don't know. And the doctor says, here, I have this shot. Would you like a shot? No, 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 don't take the shot. Folks, from now on, just to make this simple, mRNA, remember that. Ask your doctor every time you get a shot, is it mRNA? If the answer is yes, because they're preparing several more of these for market, and it'll be the flu shot eventually, so they're going to get a really high kill there too. The answer is no. No, 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 no. So write that down. mRNA. Doctor, is it an mRNA shot? Most of the time it's a COVID shot, but coming up here, it's going to probably be, well, it will be a flu shot. No, 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 no. No mRNA in your body. And by the way, the flu shot, you don't need that either. It lowers your susceptibility to other viruses and you die from that. So no, do not take the flu shot either. Okay, this whole thing's getting exponentially stupid. Now, Elon Musk is going to be donating to Thomas Massie's primaries campaign, his primary campaign, defending Massie against President Trump, who has vowed to take him out. You know what I resent? If you're going to take out people who stood in the way of the big, beautiful bill, all right, fine. Start with the Republicans who cost us almost $400 billion on the SALT tax deduction. These are Republicans from blue states that allow Democrats to have massive tax burdens. Then you just write it off on your federal taxes. We subsidize it. Or rather, our grandchildren subsidize it and our children when they pay the debt. Start with them. How profoundly selfish. What, you're not going to save the country unless you get your SALT tax deduction? Why not scram it down? Why the primary then? Well, no, we need their votes. Well, I mean, come on. This is just getting stupid. Elon Musk now responding to President Trump, stating moments ago his administration will take a look at deporting the billionaire. Musk wrote on X, so tempting to escalate this. So tempting, but I will refrain from now. Meanwhile, Trump saying he will order the Doge monster to eat Elon Musk as he considers deporting him. Trump also said he doesn't know why anyone would buy an electric car since they explode, which is a strange thing for a guy who just bought one 3 months ago to support Musk to say. Okay, here's the thing. When you promise that you are going to stop the deficit spending in your first State of the Union address, they didn't call it a State of the Union this time, but that's what it was. I mean, that wasn't even 6 months ago. Elon Musk is the real deal, and he's saying you're not telling the truth. This is not what you promised. And look, I get that Elon Musk is opposing the bill, but note, he has not been trashing Trump. He's been trashing the bill. He's tried not to make this personal. He's tried to make it about the bill, and he's now vowing to primary anybody who votes for it. And you know what? Good. Because instead of starting the America First Party, what Elon Musk really needs to do is go through and take care of the problem. And I don't understand why these two men are fighting, Musk and Trump, because they have literally the same problem. I mean, look, Trump is promising 11 to 12 more bills. They're called rescissions that will gradually make the Doge cuts and some other cuts too. And that's great. I think he's probably going to end up trying anyway to get a couple $100 billion back from Congress in individual bills that'll really be litmus tests for them. And Trump wants to handle it that way. I don't know if you can get those through, and Musk doesn't either, because these people are so selfish. The problem that Trump and Musk have is the same problem. It's these Bush era rhinos. And so we need to, I mean, like Lindsey Graham's a great example. We need to get rid of them. I mean, and that is why Trump, he has no choice. He's either he doesn't get his agenda done. He needs those 10,000 immigration agents to remove folks. He needs the $37 billion to finish the wall. He's got to have the tens of billions for the deportation program. The plan is very clear. It's to fly 500,000 out a month. He's got, I mean, and Trump's willing to do just about anything to get it. Not sure about that approach, but I get where both men are coming from. But I'm sorry, guys, your enemy is the rhinos. Let Elon take them out in the primaries. We need that. And I'm afraid Trump is going to push this guy so far that he is going to decimate the First Amendment, because there is a nuclear option there. And folks, I have told you, one morning Elon Musk wakes up in a bad mood because, you know, he's a little nutty. He is. Amazing guy, but he's nutty in the way geniuses are. He could just say, you know what, screw you. Good luck getting your message across, and pull the plug on Twitter. Sell it. Because on that day, country dies. Trump won for one reason, and that is because of Elon Musk. Trump could not get his message out in 2020. They had him chop blocked. And Elon Musk having Twitter was a game changer. It is now the number one most downloaded news app, and it has driven the fact that 54% of adults now get their news exclusively from X. And folks, you just look at today. Yesterday. Let me give you an example. It's the little things that we will lose on if these two don't make up. And here's the thing. Trump was in the process of defending, because Musk, the Digital Service Act, Europe is demanding that he censor Americans as a condition of being seen in Europe. He's going to be blocked. Does Trump think he's going to go do what? Power play? Europe will tilt into Nazism, authoritarianism. It's almost there. We'll end up censored. And you know who's the only people going to be talking? You'll hear from the Democrats. I mean, what is Trump's long-term here? He's not thinking. Stop it. Call the guy up. Fix this. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, okay? Because it's changing everything. It's every single day, and I see it. And you would have never seen this before. I go on the app that we pay a lot of money for. We have access to our company. And it shows me the top 5, 10, 15, 20 things that people are sharing online news. So I can tell what they care about. Folks, it all used to be Democrat fake news. Because, I mean, nobody was going to see anything else. You know what was in top 10? That's yesterday. It was a Breitbart article. Breitbart broke it, and then the Daily Caller picked it up. Those were the only two sources. Man shoots intruder attempting to break into his house. The guy with the brass knuckles. And he's smashing his way in with the brass knuckles. The guy's telling him to go away. And he said he wouldn't. I'm going to kill you. And he shot him. Feel good story of the week, really. This was Scott County Sheriff's Office. Post on Friday, written up by Breitbart. This is the power of the Second Amendment, the beauty of it, of being able to defend your family. A story like that wasn't even done by the mainstream media. It went top 10. Why? Because everybody shared it on X. It was cool. It was trending, and bam, there it is, top 10. You know how many Americans went, you know what? I need a gun. I need to get a gun. You buy a gun, it'll change every fiber of your being. My daughter said the other day, she went shooting with her dad, and she said, I just feel so powerful when I have it. I'm like, yes, I know. It changes you when you hold one. You don't think it will, but it does. And you begin to love the Second Amendment. It's the effect it has on most people. And you begin to get really uppity at the idea of somebody taking that away from you, that power, especially if you're a woman. The intruder, later identified as 31-year-old John Fisher, was struck by 4 shots. No one would have heard this story without Elon Musk. You cannot put a price on that. And I see all of these stupid MAGA accounts going, like, oh, throw them overboard. Okay, where are you going to tweet from? What's your plan, buddy? Well, I'm just going to pass a big, beautiful bill and don't tell anyone it's a record-breaking debt in there. Traitor. No, you wouldn't even have an account. Or you'd have one like I did. The second you got past 5,000, it started dumping accounts. They had a limiter on me, I could tell. I'll never forget the day that I was recording a Battleground podcast and went and got myself some Moe's for lunch. This was before the PhD weight loss plan. I went and got myself some Moe's for lunch. I was gone, I don't know, 40 minutes or something. And Elon Musk had just bought Twitter. He took the chains off it. I left, I had like, I don't know, 4,500 followers. I came back. I was pushing 10,000. By the end of the weekend, I was at 17. I'd never been able to go past 10. And I often couldn't get past 5 because it would just start dumping followers when I got right around that 5 mark. I have 90,000 right now. And I'm building back to what I should have had, what was stolen from me and so many others. But go ahead, you know, mock Elon Musk. Go ahead, kick him in the chins a few more times. Kick him in the teeth. What's your plan? What are you going to rely on, Zuckerberg? Get your message across? You mean the guy who took your Facebook account away? Because the FBI told him he had to, even though he didn't want to. He's weak and he took it away. You want to do that? You want to push Elon Musk? I mean, folks, we're only winning right now. Trump only has support for his agenda. He's only over 50% because people get real news. I see it every day. Breitbart and Daily Caller and all of those. PJ Media, they're just as likely to be in the top 10 as the New York Times. If that ends, we lose. So I had to tell you, Trump needs to shut up. He doesn't know when to stop. And he and Elon Musk need to get together and work this out. They need to figure it out. Like now. You know how the Bible tells us to forgive? Yeah. For me, that's about like eating a plate of steamed broccoli. Miserable. Awful. Brussels sprouts. Bleh. Not a good forgiver. But there's a good reason to do it. Apparently, our bodies are built to pay the price if we don't. Fascinating new study from the American Heart Association revealed your heart and mind keep score of every angry moment. Blood vessels remember every angry moment. The researchers found that even brief bursts of anger, frustration, exasperation negatively impact blood vessels by delaying the relaxation of their innermost lining of the cells, known as endothelium. The contraction and relaxation of blood vessels are crucial for maintaining a healthy blood flow. They broke participants in, they were all healthy young adults, randomized to four groups, and induced anger, anxiety, sadness, and no emotion. They found significant differences in those who were made to recall angry feelings. They did exercises that, you know, induced, hey, your angriest moment, your most resentful moment. It diminished their blood vessels' ability to dilate for up to 40 minutes. Wow. So the physical, and by the way, the physical effects lasted much longer than the actual anger. So you think about that. I mean, do you have, I still have things that happened to me in high school that I get angry about. Just walking around. That is ridiculous. Okay. I should let go of that. Not a lot. I mean, it's just a few times a year, but I still get angry. It's that repeat abuse of yourself by bringing it back up, or at least of your body. But you could cut that out by letting it go, by forgiving, and you have to really, truly forgive. And if you've ever had anyone talk about it, they say it's not for you. It's not for them. It's for you. Hardest thing to do, though. You listen to my show, you listen to what I do here. I don't forgive people who do wrong by this country very well, and I got to work on it. Text writes, Terry, yes, forgiveness will keep you healthy mentally and physically. Cortisol is reduced, yes. Another texter writes, Terry, this antagonism between Musk and Trump is so illogical that I couldn't keep my mind from drifting toward my wife. So I finally presented her with my bewilderment. And damn, I think she got it right. She said the election honeymoon is over and our champions are doing stupid things because you men do stupid things when you no longer feel the love. Okay. Texter writes, how often do you watch foreign media and wars coverage by them? I check foreign media most days for coverage. Really will give you a different perspective on your country, a much clearer and truer one. Our media lies to us, including Fox News. Just seeing their perspectives twisted. You really got to step back to get it. Texter writes back, guns, everywhere I go, I'm packing. Saying I feel naked without it is an understatement. It's a responsibility at this point to not only protect myself, but possibly others. Good for you. I'm glad you're out there. Another texter writes, I live fine without X, without Twitter, without Facebook and YouTube. It doesn't matter to me if they all shut down. Oh, you'll notice if they shut down. Oh, you'll see it real fast. That would put the mainstream lying media back in the driver's seat. We'll live in a totalitarian regime inside of 10 years. And you'd be like, what happened? Oh, you missed it. It was online. Text rights, T-Rex is not the only free speech. There's true social. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Nobody's reading that. I mean, we are, and it's great. It's a good echo chamber, right? But people who aren't already us aren't, they're not on it. It's got, we need the world platform, and X truly is that. Next, I'd say, Tara, I'm not convinced the Trump-Musk fight isn't scripted, like you said, Tara. They have the same problem and enemy. They are each activating different sides of the same base against a single enemy. I don't think that, but I wish it was true. Now, the text writes, I don't think Trump should be treating Elon so aggressively. Trump goes below the belt and personal. Elon is not. Another text writes, Tara, how many times have you said Trump doesn't know what he's doing? How has that worked out? Well, I don't know, because I haven't said that. Oh, my gosh. Did you miss my show yesterday? It was nothing but mocking the enemy over Tariff Maggette. It didn't happen. I went on and on and on about, we just hit all-time highs in the stock market. I mean, my gosh, in April, they were telling us that we were in that the month of May would be the worst on record since the stock market crashed the Great Depression. If you know, think about it. If you'd gone on CNBC, April, say the first week of April, right? Which was Independence, you know, when he announced the tariffs and everything. Liberation Day, that's what it was. And you said, nah, by end of June, the market had hit all-time highs. They would have treated you like a mental defective. The entire panel would have attacked you and you wouldn't be invited back. In other words, what happens to anyone who's actually right about what's coming economically? And then they just end up on Twitter with much bigger followings than CNN Business or Fox Business or CNBC has audience. And they say true things, but get blacked out by the mainstream media. So no. I mean, I think Trump makes some mistakes, and I'll point them out when I see them. But most of the time, I mean, like, look at my Rumblecast today. Never underestimate Trump's what I called it. is an uncanny way of winning. But long term, if when he's gone, 2035, this country crashes and burns because of a $60 trillion debt, and that is what this sets us up for, well, that's not good either. And I just point it out. Texter writes, Tara, Trump is not a fiscal conservative. He's a populist. Trump loves debt. He does. He said that. Texter writes, at the end of the day, Trump is the president. And finally, Texter writes, woo, the jab killed jab, like shot. Killed both my grandparents, persuaded to get it by my aunt and uncle. Ooh. And finally, Texter writes, COVID-19 or vaccines are about compliance and population control. Apparently, that's what those studies show. Mike Gallagher is up next. Have a rest. Great rest of the day.